can step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 351. My name is Lisa Sheps. I'm joined by my co-host, as always, the intrepid and wonderful Miss Nicole Shiro. You were listening to us on KOOP Hornsby Austin 91.7 FM, streaming live on KOOP.org. Remember, if it is theater, it's on Offstage and On the Air. Do not go away.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
So come out of the dumpster.
It is Wednesday, March 9th, 2016, on the show today, our very group, another show of good friends, our good friends at different stages, with their show 4,000 Miles and City Theater. We'll be here talking about Bus Stop, and it is Membership Drive week number two. We will be joined by Mr. Tracy Schultz of Remix and others, as well as Offstage and On the Air to come in and talk about Spring Membership Drive. It got very quiet.
So you're back
in the there it is, it's back. It was a pause. Of course, we are going to have lively discussions of the world of theater in New York, in Chicago, in Austin, in London, and in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Don't go away.
And next time you might stand, so come out of the dumpster.
Hey, Nicole. Come out of the dumpster, Nicole. Why are we not hearing you?
This one may be a little off. Let's try this one.
Well, no, we need to. We need that microphone. What do you mean it's a little off, Tracy?
I just saw a little note tag that just said Dunzo. I don't know what Dunzo means, but I think it means that it's done.
All right, so that microphone is Dunzo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well,
we'll switch around a little more.
As we always say here on Offstage and On the Air, we see how the sausage is made right here.
I love that it says Dunzo, though.
It does. It says Dunzo.
It's a very technical term.
Well, before we get started, we're going to just jump right into, before we explain the wacky way we're going to do today's show, we're going to jump right into Membership Drive number two. And Tracy, it's Membership Drive week number two, right?
Yeah. This is our time where we ask our listenership to, hey, let us know like that you've been listening
all over
and
the place.
Appreciate
and
the
so,
radio that you hear.
We are going to give money all over the place. Let's test that microphone.
Hello?
Nah. It's Dunzo.
It's Dunzo.
It's Dunzo.
Yeah.
It was a nice try.
I was having my own cabaret moment, though, here.
Yep. So give to your community radio station, 512-472-5667.
There's several different ways to do it. It's like the sustainership is the one thing that we've been talking about. $10 a month. Don't have to think about it twice.
You don't even know it's going.
And it automatically gets you, it's like our t-shirt or our digital download that we've been advertising about. So
it's the price of 2 gallons of gas.
That's right. Give us a call at 512-472-5667.
Okay, thanks. Okay, so here's the deal. So we're sort of doing a passing of the torch today. We're sort of doing a passing of the torch today in lieu of lots of things happening. And Nicole Shiro.
Yes.
Are you ready to run this show?
I am. I'm taking this over from you, Lisa.
So she's going to take over the show, and I'm going to be her second.
So I'm going to start with a thank you to Tracy Schultz and Remix for a lovely show today. And thank you for sticking around and being part of the membership drive with us. And Lisa, I'm going to check in with you. How are you?
Oh my God. You know, Nicole, I'm a little, it's cray out there. It's raining.
Yes.
We have Amplify Austin.
Yes.
And it's just
traffic's
cray.
Bananas.
It is. It's bananas.
It's already bananas and Obama isn't even here.
It's like one banana, two banana, three banana, four.
Yeah, da, 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 da. Oh my gosh. Thanks for taking me back to the 70s. That was
I
awesome.
I lived there.
So did I. How about that? So I guess we should remind listeners today, because we do have the membership drive going on, we will not be having our backstage at Offstage segment.
Wah, wah.
So, but that opening song I played for you, Lisa, because I felt like you were still in the dumpsters from backstage, because it's been so long since we've done the segment.
That's a
so
good
I wanted
one.
You to come out of the dumpster.
I'm going to come out of the dumpster.
So that was our Laura Benanti we love, by the way. Did you know that?
I'm still mad at her.
You are still mad at her?
Still angry with Laura Benanti.
Well, maybe she'll hear this today. Well, she's probably in She Loves Me rehearsals.
Did somebody ask why?
Yes, I did.
Okay, you need to ask in the microphone.
Lisa, please tell us why you're mad at Laura Benanti.
She would not give me an interview. And we had a conversation on the Twitter. And
I didn't know she was actually
she and I conversed on the Twitter for a little while.
I just thought she didn't answer.
She conversed for... Can I call it a conversation if it was just one response?
Yes, you can.
Okay, yes. Then we conversed.
Because it was just not one solo person. Yes, that's a conversation. Well, boo.
Yeah, I still like her.
I still like her, too. She's in this She Loves Me, and I just can't. Like, I'm so excited, but I'm not going to talk about that today. But we can talk when it opens. Oh, so we did have some openings, Lisa.
We did.
We had, we had a few off-Broadway and one Broadway. So let's talk about one Broadway and one off-Broadway
Broadway.
Today. So the Broadway was Disaster the Musical.
Yes, the oft talked about.
Yes, and it was interesting, and I forgot to tell you about this. Like 2 weeks ago on the Today Show on Hoda and Kappy, the entire cast infiltrated the whole hour, and they just kept popping up in the middle of them having a segment, and they would bust out into one of the musical numbers. And Hoda and Kathy didn't know what to do. It was kind of hilarious. And I didn't know what to do. But I knew that, you know, it was Seth Rudensky. I knew it was a lot of good people in it. I didn't realize how star-studded the cast.
Totally star-studded.
Like, banana star-studded. From Cary Butler, Adam Pascal, Rachel York.
We actually talked about it on the show,
even Backstreet Boys' little son is in it. Brian, what's his name? The blondie kid, his son, Backstreet Boy kids. Oh my goodness. What's his name? Because Robert Stevens getting a mic, he can remember. So,
no, I don't remember. I was just going to ask, is Disaster the Musical the sequel to Spider-Man?
No.
Good.
Well,
so what is Disaster the Musical?
It's written by Seth Rudensky, and it's basically kind of a spoof using all of these 70 disaster movies, and they used actual hits from the 70s. So it's not really a jukebox musical, but it kind of is in a way.
Torn between two lovers. That's
sing
one of the songs.
Sing it, Lisa, sing it.
I am woman, hear me roar. These are some of the songs that are in the show.
I know. That's why I was saying, come on.
Feelings.
Tell me about them.
That's it.
Nothing more than feelings?
Nothing more than feelings.
So, it was very interesting. The 70s costumes and outfits are phenomenal. But the reviews were, I don't know if you, did you look at the did he like it?
I did. It was crazy. Like thumbs up and thumbs down and nothing in
nothing
between.
Nothing in between. And I was shocked that the thumbs up were the times and time out.
Did you read any of the thumbs down? I did not.
I didn't read the thumbs down. You know, it was funny. And I printed the thumbs up and I thought to myself, I would have liked to see what was wrong with the thumbs down. Did you read the Charles Isher word?
I read the first four paragraphs.
Oh, well, the first sentence is pretty hilarious. Alert the authorities. There's a wayward nun on the loose in New York City committing a grand larceny 8 times a week. I joke, of course, though that story would be a fun diversion from the onslaught of election coverage. No? That made me giggle. No one else is laughing.
No.
Everybody's just looking at me in here. I'm like, that's some funny stuff.
Some of us are in election overkill.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that one. So basically, it's all the 70s crazy storms. They have a series of calamities, such as earthquakes, comes a tidal wave explosion, it capsizes the casino. But I don't know. I think it's fun and exciting. I'm shocked that it went from one way to the other.
Yeah. Well, I do have...
I didn't find a word in here, though.
I did.
Oh.
I have
I was
a
hoping
word.
You print, because I'm like, Lisa, I looked for a word for you, and I didn't find one.
It's a good one. I'm surprised. Maybe because you knew this word. And as we talk about, if you don't mind me just running with this part.
Please do. No, please do.
We talk about how critics write, and you need a dictionary. They're just erudite in their language choices. And that in itself was an erudite choice of my own. I'm filled with sesquipedalisms. Look it up. So okay, here it is. So this is the word. I'm going to read the sentence, and you tell me what it is in context. This is a, it's a French word, so that will make it a little bit. Okay. But for anyone with a moist, albeit mortifying affection for the oeuvre that is the great auteur Irwin Allen and the K-Tel era of pop music, Disaster will provide a rush of giddy nostalgia. Oeuvre.
Oeuvre means open.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, not in this case.
It really is body of work.
Body of work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how did you know that, Robert? You need to be in the microphone. Sorry.
I'm just smart.
You are
He's
smart.
He's just smart.
Yeah, body of work for an artist, specifically for an artist.
I felt old because I knew what K-Tel was.
Me too.
K-Tel, actually, when I was first starting out in New York as a publicist, K-Tel, I nailed K-Tel in the New York Times. That was my first hit I ever got in print was with K-Tel.
So tell people, you know, not every, does everybody here know what K-Tel Records is K-Tel. Or was?
Karen got excited.
I'm looking at the younger people.
Robert,
greatest
tell.
Hits of the 60s. Now on K-Tel.
Now it's the Time Life series.
I think it is.
Picked up where K-Tel left off.
Probably. Yeah. I don't think they do even exist anymore, do they?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Oh, well. Sorry, K-Tel. Yeah, I had a little nostalgia in there. So, I don't know. Would you die to go see it?
No. You know what? And I'm not against it, but I have no desire. I've got this thing about this show, and I don't know what it was. It's been fueled lately because, as you know, I have a new car that's got XM Sirius radio in it.
Yes.
And I've been listening to a lot of Seth Rudetsky on the Broadway channel, and all he does is talk about this show.
He's log he
rolling for the entire time.
He made
all his
me angry.
Guests are in the show. It's like I haven't, when he's on, it's all disaster all the time. And it's a disaster.
And it keeps popping up when you're trying to read another article. He keeps popping up and start talking about disaster. I'm like, Seth, I get it.
But it got great notices off Broadway.
Is
Seth Rudetsky connected with the show somehow?
He wrote it and he's in it.
Well, that would explain it.
Yeah, yeah, well, but exactly. It's still, but.
But for instance, as if I were to only talk about ground floor theater.
Yeah, he doesn't talk about anything else, and it's constant. It's not typical promotion.
While we're discussing ground floor theater, no,
yes.
Teasing.
No, I want to hear. I want to hear what's going on.
Oh well, that's actually something we take for backstage and on stage.
All right,
but we will tell folks that the ground floor theater plans to open up in June.
Yes.
Hopefully.
Congrats.
Cross your fingers. It's not definite yet.
But we'll touch a little bit about that and on Amplify and other things later in the show today.
Excellent.
So don't worry. So you gave me another show, and I decided to talk about it, one of the off-Broadway shows.
The Trumpy one?
The boxing one.
The boxing one, yes.
Because Lisa, you know, we had our fascination with Rocky Das Musical and the full-size boxing ring. So you were fascinated by the full-size regulation boxing ring. Come on, admit it, Lisa.
Okay, I'll admit it.
So Lisa was like, did you see the other review? It's boxing, and there is no ring. So you know what?
Did you read it?
I did, and I understand why there's no ring. Yeah, I wasn't upset by it.
You weren't upset?
No. It doesn't need a full-size.
You mean you weren't impressed?
No, I was impressed. I thought it looked cool.
Oh, yeah, I loved it. It looks really cool.
It was interesting that they could visually make almost like a ballet bar look like a boxing ring.
They had a movable.
But it's the story of Jack Johnson, a former boxer. I should probably say what we're talking about instead of some boxing pole. So the show is called The Royal, and it's off Broadway. And it's funny, they talk about the fight scenes, which you said there were none of. But then
there was one at the beginning and the end, but they don't actually physically touch one another.
Yes, yes. So it was interesting, because Lisa and I were talking about this beforehand, so I was like, let me really look on it. And it says, the true play begins and concludes with matches of bruisy, bloodying violence. Yet as staged by Mrs. Shakovan, Shavkin. I'm going to go with Shavkin.
I'm going to go with you on this one.
These encounters are almost entirely free of physical contact. That's because they're taking place in another more privileged arena to which we have been allowed direct access, the uncommonly focused mind of Jay Jackson. So I thought this was kind of interesting. And it did really well when it opened in Los Angeles in 2003. I love it more because it's a 90-minute play. So that was kind of interesting, and I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool.
And the other article that you sent me, we'll quickly make a mention of. I know it's kind of election-y, but not. But you were fascinated. You learned something about Donald Trump and Broadway, didn't you?
He's an investor. He's an ex-producer.
He did it right when he got out of Wharton. Did you read the last sentence of the article?
Yes, but why don't you refresh my memory?
He said, when I told him I had to close it, he said, David, what should I do now? Mr. Black recalled, and I said, why don't you try real estate? So I was Broadway's, like, that's hilarious. Broadway is the
tell
reason.
Tell folks what show he did.
He did the show Paris Is Out.
Yeah.
Domestic comedy featuring Molly Picon.
Which I think that Paris Is Out, this was like in the 80s, and I think that was a revival.
Early 70s.
Because Paris Is Out is, I think it's an older piece, isn't mm-hmm. it?
Yeah, this one was an early 70s piece. He was 23.
Yeah.
So, but I found that hilarious, that you found that hilarious.
There you go.
So, but I think, is Tracy here to talk to us?
Sure.
Well, I have that on here right here.
Why don't you bring
I'm going to share this right here with Mr. Schultz.
Oh, thank you so much. It's like talking about all things 725-667. We'd love to hear from you.
Thank you, Tracy.
So, I'm going to jump right back into this.
Jump.
This was really cool, and you saw this too, and I'd had it. The Carnegie Hall's West Side Story that they did at the Knockdown Center.
The Knockdown Center.
Does anyone here know about this? Yeah, speaking of boxing, Knockdown Center.
Anybody?
So basically, the Knockdown Center is this former factory out in Queens. And what they did is they did Carnegie Hall and the Wheel Music Institute did a 3-day production of West Side Story. But here's what's cool. It had mixed it with professional actors. 15 high school staged apprentices were in the cast, and it was supplemented by a course of 200 high school singers and 26 schools representing all 5 boroughs. Yeah, a lot of faces. No one in the radio can see that, but everybody's eyes went, whoa, and there was a lot of mouthings of, wow, how awesome is that?
It looked really cool, and the audience was all over the place.
Yes, the images looked really, it was very modern looking. The images and the stills, I wish there was video of some sort. I didn't find any, did you?
No, I didn't.
Kind of a bummer, but totally, totally crazy. And what was really cool is the orchestra was run by Marion Ossoff, who is the director of Baltimore Symphony Orchestra, but was once a protege of Leonard Bernstein.
Wow.
So
who wants to go see that?
Me, raise my hand,
yeah.
But it's
no,
closed.
No, but you can't.
Because it was
you
3 days close. Over the weekend, days. But... So sadly, but on a happy, happy note, I'm going to talk about something. Well, I think you like her, but I know it's not your cup of tea. Dolly Parton. Love me some Dolly Parton.
She announced, like Dolly Parton.
She announced she's doing her new album and everything. But secretly, I realized in one of her articles and interviews, she is writing music for a Broadway musical about her life. Oh. Dolly.
I bet you that will be fascinating.
Oh, I think it's going to be awesome. But she said it's about two and a half years away from hitting the stage. But she is writing all the original material and she's working on it now. So I can't wait to keep like looking in the news to see what's going on in that one. That is exciting.
Cool.
So, all right, Lisa, you got a trivia question?
Got a trivia question.
I gave you the book. You're master today.
I have the book, and we're gonna go with, where did it go? I lost it. We're going to go with Rent.
Okay, and we'll do the answer when we do like the local section stuff.
Oh,
is that
God,
cool?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
You're the boss.
Well, we can't do it backstage.
All right, you're the boss. Okay, so this all starts out of what can be said about Rent that hasn't already been said? It fused rock and a theatrical book with, and it was an updating of La Boheme, as we do. It launched the careers of young stars. It stands as a monument to Jonathan Larson, who died right before the first preview, or right after it opened. And it brought to young people back to theater in the droves. One of the more attractive aspects of the show was the way that Larson never underestimated the intelligence of the audience. And so we all wondered how many young Rentheads caught the cultural references in the lyrics. So which one of the following is not mentioned in a Rent lyric?
Oh.
Ready? A, Heidegger. B, Thelma Louise. That's Thelma and Louise, not Thelma Louise. Thelma and Louise. C, the Magna Carta. D, Ted Koppel. Or E, Stephen Sondheim. Which of these is not mentioned in the lyrics in Rent, which is Heidegger, Thelma and Louise, the Magna Carta, Ted Koppel, or Esteban Sondheim? Yeah.
All right. Well, would you like to play our next song?
Okay. Well, we usually say something like, "We will be right back."
Oh, we'll be right back.
Don't go away.
Oh.
And why did we choose this song? What's it from?
This is I chose this because we were talking about the boxing.
Okay.
In our the Royal.
Yeah, boxing.
So you wanna be a boxer.
Hello, and we're back. I think Tracy has some folks that have called in, so I'm going to let him pop in for a second.
Yeah, we're in the middle of our membership drive, and we just had Miss Liz Barrett make a first-time donation. Thank you so much.
Mom! It's not a first-time donation. She has been a supporter of this this show and this radio station for several years. So, Liz, thank you.
And also, Tyler Edmonds made a donation as well. And if you want to be like Tyler, be like Liz, give us a call right now and join the club at 512-472-5667. Let us know that you're listening right now to us and you appreciate cool radio like Co-op Radio and Offstage and On Air. That number is 512-472-5667.
Do it without delay.
Dun, dun, dun.
We don't oftentimes get to make a direct...
Telling people what to do. Call to action. It's kind of, yes, call to action. It's kind of excited that we can call to action everyone. But thanks, Mom. Mom rocks. So let's go on to some of our guests here today, Lisa.
Yay.
Yay. We're going to start here with different states. I'm going to have to move because I feel like I'm looking at you guys through the back, like with a wall where the computer is today, so I can actually see faces. We have here from different stages. You know what? I'm going to ask you, Will, are you new to this show?
Yes. This is my first time on the show.
Well, hold on just a second. The engineer did not turn on the microphones.
She was in the book.
Yes, this is my first time on the show.
That's what I was saying. And so that is Will Douglas here with different stages and not new faces and coming back again for a good time. We have Karen Jambon.
Yes, hi.
Hello. And Jennifer Underwood. And Karen, you, I believe, are directing this lovely piece,
yes,
4,000 Miles.
Okay, well, hold on. We're not hearing you in that microphone either.
Wow. I thought I heard her.
Do you hear her? And say that again.
Hello.
Oh, there you are.
Yes.
I did not have my headphones up. Mm-mm. Carry
I was
on.
Like,
pretend like I didn't say anything.
No, I thought I heard her.
So, it's hard not to hear me. My voice carries like... next to the next county. So
that's true.
Says my
cast.
Will was quick on that answer now, wasn't he? So, Karen,
yes?
Why don't you tell us a little bit about this piece, 4,000 Miles?
Well, 4,000 Miles was written by Amy Herzog, who has been I can't say she's an up-and-coming playwright. She's already arrived, and she's been produced in New York and at Lincoln Center. This play is about a young man played by Will. His name is Leo, and he's just biked 4,000 miles from Seattle. He ended up in New York at his grandmother's house, played by Jennifer Underwood. There's a little bit of an age difference. She's an octogenarian pushing 90, and he's 21. So you can imagine when he arrives in her New York Greenwich Village apartment that she's been in for years and years and years, something tragic happened along the way. And one of the things that we really sort of liked and talked a lot about the play was she's a very sparing playwright. I mean, she writes beautifully and says so much in so little. And so we've had a great time discussing like the lines and what she's revealing about each character. It's a chamber play. There's four characters in addition to Will and to Jennifer. We also have Christine Hong and Andrea Flowers, and they're just wonderful. So we're having a great time.
That's exciting. I was going to say, and I see you have, it's a nice small cast,
but
you went
cast.
Ahead and answered.
Sometimes it's nice to have a one set play with a small cast. It's like, yay.
Oh, wait, that can happen.
Yes, it can happen. Yes, it can.
When was this written, this piece?
Well,
Why don't I just cheat?
It's a few years ago. It's a modern piece.
I seem to remember.
I was like, it won the Obie in 2012, so it had to be somewhere around.
And what's kind of cool about it is that it's very autobiographical. It's the second play that in which she has had her grandmother, who was a woman named Leapy.
What a great name.
Yeah, great name. Leapy Joseph. And this woman, it was amazing. She got arrested the first time when she was 12 years old for picketing. And she was a lifelong activist who just died, I think, a few years ago at the age of 96.
Oh, wow.
She participated in Occupy Wall Street.
Really?
And great stuff. And so much of Amy Herzog's grandmother's life appears on the stage in one way or the other. So it's really pretty cool.
That is really exciting. And how long is the? It's a two act.
It's one of those ones that you like.
Oh, gosh.
It's a one-er.
It's a one-er.
It runs around say about an hour and 45 or an hour and 40.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really nice. Mm-hmm. Now, I know you have some scenes prepared.
Do we have a scene? Let me get out of the
but
way.
But before we do the scene, uh-huh, I am going to give Will a job.
Great.
Since you're new.
Yes.
Pick a number between 2 and 16. Right, Lisa?
Sure, why not?
Okay, pick a number between... You have to let us know the number, though.
Five.
Hi, I'm Billy Stritch.
Hey, Comedy Sports Odyssey.
Hi, I'm Holland Taylor.
This is Jason Wing.
We're the cast of Jersey Boys.
I'm Jim Caruso.
Hi, I'm Lucy Arnett.
We're the Gigawatts Burlesque.
This is Martin Burke.
Hi, I'm Carissa Cameron.
And we're the Radio City Rockettes.
And you are listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOK.
And you are listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP. Hornsby, Austin, 91.7.
Oh, that's a good one. We hadn't
that
heard
was a good
that
one. We haven't heard
one.
That one in a while.
No, in a long time. Good.
It was
choice.
Well worth oh, the you. Wait.
It
good
definitely
choice.
Was. And bated breath. I've been here for. I came out of the dumpster just for that today, Lisa. So, who would like to set up this scene?
This is near the beginning of the play when Leo has just arrived at his grandmother's apartment and.
At about 3 o'clock in the morning.
It's a little bit of a surprise for her. She did not expect him. And she's just now finished putting in her teeth and her hearing aid.
Are you high?
What? No.
Well, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, so I'm just asking. Have you eaten anything in a while?
I'm cool.
That's not what I ask you. You've lost weight.
It's been a long road, but a good one.
You biked all the way here?
Pretty much.
From Minnesota?
Well, actually, we started in Seattle.
Well, there are some mountains in the middle, aren't there? Whichever way you go?
There are.
I'll get you a banana.
No, whoa, jet fuel?
What?
No such thing as a local banana?
You don't have to yell. It's only when you speak very low or very fast that I can't hear you.
I'm just concerned about you. I was leaning on that buzzer for quite a while.
Yes, well, I was asleep, and I didn't have my, whatchamacallit, hearing aid in, and I wasn't expecting you.
Would you hear a fire alarm?
What?
Would you hear
I
a
heard you! Listen, it's the way you're acting I don't understand, actually, not your... The whole family's been very worried. I guess you know that, your mother and your father
I'm
and...
sorry people worried, I am, but... That's not something I can take responsibility for.
You should have called. You should have called your mother. She's really been...
Grandma Vera, it was awesome to see you.
What? You're...
It's cool. I don't think either of us has to feel bad about the fact that the timing isn't right for me to be here.
What? You're going to... Where will you go?
I have a tent and a camping stove and a love for the outdoors. I'll be all right.
You're in Manhattan.
Maybe you can give me a tip. Somewhere out of the way?
There's no place like that. Listen, you're being... Put that down. Put that back down. You can leave tomorrow. I won't stop you. Just sleep here for a few hours and take a shower and eat some breakfast, and I can wash those. You smell terrible. And I wouldn't be surprised if you had lice.
I don't have lice.
And you don't seem all right to me. You don't seem all right.
It's just, if this is gonna be about calling Jane and a last-minute, hellaciously overpriced plane flight for which she has to take a Valium because she's a phobic freak, and I wake up in the morning and she's here with a Valium hangover...
I'm not a reporter!
Meaning?
Meaning I'm not a news reporter and I won't call your mother if that's what you're asking me. But the way you're talking about her, it's really not fair. A lot of people don't like flying.
Jane and I are at a juncture where more talking is not better than less talking. If that's not something you can understand, I'm saying it's probably best I go set up camp somewhere else.
Wow.
Okay, there was some funny stuff in there.
There was.
I love that you're going to camp in the middle of New York City.
Of course, as one does.
Well, we are out of time, but I am so glad that you guys, we got a little bit of piece of the piece besides
yes. learning about the show.
Yeah, and Jenny, I think I know that character. I have, I know her quite well.
Well.
I do.
Yeah, I know you do. I was going to make a joke, but I don't think it's an on-air joke. Okay. So I'll just leave that to myself. But thank you very, very much. That was Different Stages and their production of 4,000 Miles, playing March 11th through April 3rd at House and Hall at First Unitarian Universalist Church. Mm-hmm. For more information, you may visit maine.org/diffstages. Okay, that was some funny stuff. It made me giggle a little bit.
It made me giggle a lot. That Jenny Underwood, she works at it. She's going to be decent.
You know, she may go somewhere.
She may get somewhere in this
it
town.
It may just happen.
Yeah.
So, yes. I think, Tracy, you have something to say here. Come on, don't leave.
Bring it on
leave.
In, brother.
Well,
let's go.
It's a real pleasure to be able to be up here and do a little pitching for our radio station during offstage
right
and on
512,
air. This is our time where we ask our listeners to give us a call.
Yep, Mitch Tuckman is on the phones waiting for your call.
Dun, dun, dun. So, Lisa, we're gonna roll through some local real quick.
Yeah, we're going to be really quick. So, go ahead. Sorry.
No,
did
go ahead.
Did you have something?
I brought
it
one.
It says my name.
It says your name. What'd I know. That's what I was about to say. So do you have something local?
Well, the only thing I really want to talk about is that the Greater Austin High School Musical Theater nominations were given out last Friday.
Yes, ma'am.
And I just wanted to remind folks that that's happening and that there is a wonderful award ceremony at the
Long Center
in the big stage on April 14th. That you can go in and see the winners and to see these kids that work so hard and do such incredible work at the high school level, and they're performing on the big stage of the Long Center, and it's awesome.
It is awesome. If for more information, do you know where to get
that? TheLongCenter.org.
Woohoo! I wanted to talk about that we have the Amplify going on.
Amplify Austin.
I mean, we are just a giving city with the co-op and the other arts organizations. I think as a city, we've raised almost $6 million already when I was looking at the counter. That says a lot about us as a community.
Yep.
I love it. And then my other show I chose was Marie Antoinette because I was obsessed with Marie Antoinette as a kid. I couldn't wait to get to Versailles. So that runs March 3rd through March 20th, and that is at the Off Center at capitalt.org.
Yeah, so that's Capital T. I actually received an email from Mark Paquel today asking if they could come on the show, and I think we just had an opening, so we might get them on the show in the next week or two.
Yeah, I was about to say we saw that opening. Oh, that'd be exciting. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to do a rundown, quick version of Today in Theater History.
Do it.
I did want to say, I know this wasn't today, but Monday was the anniversary of Anne. With, you know, Holland Taylor will
That's
be doing
right,
this
it
exact
was.
Soon. And mm-hmm. Monday was yep. Today in Theater History with Anne. So I have in here in 1886.
I remember that year. Robert, you remember,
no,
don't
actually,
you?
It was 1986, yeah. So you should
never
remember.
Mind. I remember that
I remember
year.
That one, too.
Yeah, 1986, New York Shakespeare Festival's production of Hamlet with Kevin Kline. Oh, I remember that.
He may get somewhere if he works.
You know
it.
What? He kind of works sometimes. We'll see. Another one of my favorite was 89 was Wendy Wasserstein's Heidi Chronicles mm-hmm. with Joan Allen. I remember all that. That was awesome. Your 2008, following a 2007 off-Broadway run at 37 Arts in the Heights, your Lin-Manuel Miranda opened.
Yep.
With you know, my Priscilla Lopez. I love her. She said... She's Deanna Morales from Chorus Line. And then 2010, Love Never Dies, Andrew Lloyd Webber's sequel. Thank God he moved on and did Rock of Ages and didn't leave me with that. But there's some good birthdays today. Will Gear, Tana Elg, but ready? Raw Julia.
Why do you say it that way?
I miss, because he's passed.
I know,
he's no longer with us. I miss him. He's not here for me to... Like, you know, call him on the phone.
I talked to him at my last seance. He and I had a nice
Did
conversation.
Did you?
Yes.
Man, I wish I had seen him in 9. Mm. Bo Bridges and Lonnie Price.
Yeah. And I know that I was looking at my Facebook to see who the local thing.
I
know Emily Bem
yes.
is today. And there was one other, and I cannot remember who it is. And I
well,
can't,
we can post them
I can't
on
figure
the,
out how the Facebook works.
The Facebook. And because there was another article that we didn't do, I want to post on there about 28 reasons why New York theater is thriving. And I thought maybe we could have a conversation on how to make that
maybe
work.
Maybe you should
in
give
Austin.
Us just one.
You want to hear one?
Just one.
Okay.
And are we going to do this right now, the
yes,
answer?
Okay. Yes. There is an unusual moment when younger playwrights offering good and challenging work are getting big-time productions. whatever their own backgrounds, members of the rising junior class of theater writers are more comfortable addressing race, gender, religion, and the universal problems of poor old humanity, like poverty and old age, ever than before.
True that.
So
okay, so we were talking about Rent before in our trivia question, and we said what popular piece or what cultural reference was not in the lyrics. And the choices are A, Heidinger, B, Thelma and Louise, C, the Magna Carta, D, Ted Koppel, or E, Stephen Sondheim.
It's Thelma or Ted?
So you're saying
I'm
Thelma
saying
and Ted?
B, I'm Anybody saying else? It's either B or E.
Yeah,
Jocelyn says
I'm
no.
With Thelma.
I don't know.
In the microphone.
Thelma is what I'm really, Thelma was my gut.
All right. Evelyn, no?
No idea.
Nothing? Okay, Aunt, you're both wrong. All of you are wrong.
What
and
was
I knew it?
It
all along because I have the book. It is the Magna Carta.
See, I went with Magna Carta, and then I'm like, no, I swear that's a lyric, so
it.
I went back.
So that landmark document from the early 13th century is not mentioned in Rent, but I bet if Larson had put his mind to it, he could have squeezed it in somewhere. After all, the foundation of our political and civil liberties, the German philosopher Heidegger is mentioned in Santa Fe. Mm-hmm. The movie characters Thelma and Louise are in Today for You. Newsman Ted Koppel is noted in On the Street. And Sondheim is in, among others, Lovey Boehm.
I knew he was in that one, too.
Yeah,
so.
Sondheim was a giveaway.
And I knew the first one was. Oh, interesting, interesting. Well, I think we're going to jump out for a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
That's life.
And we are back. Thank you for engineering those fabulous little breaks there, Lisa.
I do my best to aid the presentation of this fine program.
Well, you know what?
Before
you
we get started,
best.
I'm just going to say 512-472-5667. You guys better call.
And why are they going to call? What are they going to do?
They're going to join our radio station at the $35 level or better, or they're going to become a sustainer. And they're going to thank Nicole Shiro because she's doing such an absolute fabulous job for hosting the show.
You know what? And if you did it now, I would even make a video singing and thanking you back. Lisa's done those. I haven't.
There you go. 512-472-5667, 572-KOOP. Nicole will make a video for you.
Yeah. So, hello, everyone here today. So we have City Theater here with Bus Stop, and I have in everyone actually has all been on this show. We have some alumni in the house today.
We call them an alumnus in
an
the business.
An alumnus in the business. Hello. We have one, Robert. You know, you guys are sitting not in order. I'm just going to read in order I had stuff. Sorry. I have Evelyn Lalonde.
Hello.
Jesslyn Parks.
Hey.
And Robert Stevens.
Hello.
Hello. And they would be making up part of the cast of Bus Stop. I love this play.
Inge. Mm-hmm.
Inge. Yes. And you know, I don't think it's been done here in a while, has it? In a long time. I was trying to think about it, and I was
can't
like,
I remember a production. No.
Yeah. And I can't, it's such a classic. It kind of mind boggles me. So who would like to give someone the nickel dime tour of what is Bus Stop? Should they, all these years, have never, ever discovered it?
Okay, Bus Stop is a play about a group of strangers that are taking a bus trip across Kansas that get stranded in a diner because of the highways are snowed out. So we have, I'll start with me, an alcoholic professor. We have the two women that work at the diner. We have the bus driver. We have the town sheriff. We have Cherie, a chanteuse.
A chanteuse.
Kansas
oh,
City.
Okay.
Bo, the cowboy who has abducted her from Kansas City, and Virgil, Bo's friend.
Wow, how big is the cast?
I was like, that's pretty...
I can't count in my head.
Well, I think it's like nine.
I couldn't either. Wow,
I think nine, yeah.
I got eight, unless I went to the next page. So.
Okay, eight.
Eight.
Wow.
Well, the set itself is another character.
No, that wasn't. I just want to go on record as saying that wasn't a stupid question, because many shows have many characters with less actors.
Yes, it would be difficult in this play since most of the characters are on stage most of the time.
Okay, I admit I've
we
never seen
We get off the
it.
Bus
You've never
and
seen
we're
it.
There.
Never seen it.
And did you ever see, I mean, the movie version is different.
The movie it's version is more of a prequel to the play,
right.
If you will. A lot of things that happen in the movie are referred to in the play, but the movie version, you actually get to see them go down, and then it
well, they call
it,
the movie also a musical, which is kind of funny. And yes, if
and
you
my,
go and look up the movie, it says Marilyn Monroe musical, and you're like, this is not a musical.
Yeah.
This is
definitely
not.
And my character was cut from the movie, I guess, because he's a little too controversial. Yeah,
you're right. So I think this play is really, really cool, and I was really, really blown away by it. I can't believe people haven't done this. So how? Did you, any of you, know this play yourself going, okay, I know the name Bus Stop, but were you familiar with the material, or was this new to you when you picked it up?
Sure. I think I've actually auditioned for the show a couple of times in the past, and this was my first opportunity to play the role, which is really exciting.
That is interesting.
I wasn't familiar with it. I think it might be because it's a little deceiving in how complicated it is. We have to cook or prepare or at least serve on stage.
Or eat.
Eggs, donuts, sweet rolls, coffee, orange juice, toast. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, that really is complex.
Yeah, so it's a little like, what did you say? I missed your joke.
You said wine and whiskey.
Rye whiskey.
You know what? One day we're going to have to get on this show. There's a whole, whenever you do a show that involves food on stage, there is this whole choreography that goes on backstage prior to food.
I've worked crew on some of those.
Right, you were on that one
Omnium
show.
Omnium Gatherum. Yeah. Omnium Gatherum. My.
Do you want to work crew for us, Nicole?
I had to cook and eat spam on stage from Terrifus.
I was just about to ask you, do you have crew members just for your food?
Hopefully we will by Friday.
Yeah, we have a lovely stage manager who's doing more.
Oh, well,
let's
say the stage manager's name and shout out
Ellen.
Ellen,
lovely Ellen, who's a student at Southwest Texas State, and she drives up from San Marcos every night for rehearsal and kills as a stage manager.
Oh, wow. All right, well, that's awesome. That's really awesome. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't want to run out of time, and I know you have a little scene prepared.
We have two short scenes.
Well, let's set these up and listen a little bit.
So Cherie...
The Chanteuse.
She befriends Elma, who is a waitress in the diner, and they actually have an opportunity to have some personal conversations about what's going on in Cherie's life.
Wonderful.
This is just Bo, the cowboy, has already come in, sort of made his dramatic entrance. And now we're sitting at my diner counter, sort of discussing what's just happened.
Maybe I'm a sap.
Why do you say that?
I don't know why I don't go off to Montana and marry him. I might be a lot better off than I am now.
He says he loves you.
He don't know what love is.
What makes you say that?
All he wants is a girl to throw his arms around and hug and kiss, that's all. The rest of the time, he don't even know I exist.
Well, what made you decide to marry him in the first place?
You aren't very experienced, are you?
I guess not.
I never did decide to marry him. Everything was going fine till he brought up that subject. Bo come in one night when I was singing That Old Black Magic. It's one of my best numbers. And he liked it so much, he jumped up on a chair and yelled like an Indian and put his fingers in his mouth and whistled like a steam engine. Naturally, it made me feel good. Most of the customers at the Blue Dragon was too drunk to pay any attention to my songs.
And you liked him?
Well, I thought he was awful cute.
I think he looks a little like Burt Lancaster, don't you?
Maybe. Anyway, I never seen a cowboy before. Oh, I'd seen him in the movies, of course, but never in the flesh. Anyway, he's so darn healthy looking, I don't mind admitting I was attracted right from the start.
You were?
But it was only what you might call a sexual attraction.
Oh.
Only what you might call
a sexual.
I do declare.
I know.
I think, like, I have the vapors.
I got the vapors. I was going to say that, Lisa. Oh, I like all the witty
repartee
today.
Here's a little bit of intrigue for you. Clay Avery, who plays Bo, the strapping cowboy, is in real life dating our Elma.
Whoa.
Guilty.
Yep. So,
love triangles. Behind the scenes.
Well, I don't think so.
I'm just kidding. You're like, wait a minute. What are you talking about?
It's a love line.
There you go.
It's actually our second time playing opposite other people since I'm kind of opposite linemen. So at this point, we just say, I'll see you after the show. You go do something with someone
else.
That's
what this is called.
So, Robert, would you like to set up the second scene?
Yes, the second scene is Dr. Lyman has just entered. He's obviously been drinking a bit. He's an alcoholic former professor who loves to spout Shakespeare and chase after high school girls. So,
I thought I was special.
You are. So he turns, sees Elma at the counter, and then launches into, "Nymph, in thy orisons be all my sins remembered."
I'm sorry your bus is held up.
Oh, is that a nice way to greet me?
I mean, I...
After my loving greeting, all you can think of is to say, I'm sorry your bus is held up? Well, I'm not. I had much rather sit here looking into the innocent blue of your eyes than continue riding on that monotonous bus.
Don't you have to get somewhere?
I have a ticket in my pocket to Denver, but I don't have to get there. I don't have to get anywhere. I travel around from one town to another just to prove to myself that I'm free.
The bus probably won't get into Denver for another day.
Ah, well. What is our next stop?
Topeka.
Topeka. That's where the famous hospital is, isn't it?
The Meninger Clinic? Yes, it's a very famous place. Lots of movie stars go there for nervous breakdowns and things.
Does the town offer anything else in the way of diversion?
It's the capital of Kansas. It's almost as big as Kansas City. They have a university and a museum, and sometimes symphony concerts and plays. I go there every Sunday to visit my married sister.
Ah. Well, in the meantime, you may fix me a double shot of rye whiskey on the rocks.
I'm sorry, sir. We don't sell drinks.
Oh. Well, fortunately, I come prepared for such emergencies.
Well, you better not let Will see you do that. You're not supposed to.
Who is he? The sheriff?
Yes. Lots of people do spike their drinks here, and we never say anything, but Will would have to make you stop if he saw you.
I shall be most cautious, I promise.
That will.
That will. I wish people we had the camera going so you could see Robert with his glasses.
That's true. Okay, trivia question. Do we all know what show, that what play that opening line from your scene was from? Nymph and Thy...
I believe it's The Tempest.
Anybody else want to ponder a guess?
I was about to say, Robert will have a guess. No, I don't want to say
anybody
something
else?
Wrong.
You think he's right? You're right. Prospero to Miranda, Act 3, Scene 4.
Oh, thank you.
I don't know about all that.
I was about to say,
it was Prospero to Miranda.
Oh, you're funny. Well, that was awesome. Thank you. So you're in rehearsals? You open this weekend?
We open
Friday. On Friday.
And how are rehearsals?
Great.
They all kind of looked at each other.
Great.
Well, it is, you know, Tech Week.
It's
so
the food, yeah.
If we didn't feel like it was all falling
apart. We didn't have a set till Monday, so... We're getting used to it. Since there's so much business with the food and everything and the tables.
Well, this sounds exciting. I'm glad you guys are on today. We ran out of time. We're ending up the show here. But thank you so much for being on and being able to do both scenes. That was really awesome. That was City Theater with Bus Stop. The show runs March 11th through April 3rd. For more information, you may visit citytheateraustin.org.
So if you're on the bus, get on.
So Lisa, that was weird today.
It was
it
weird
in a bad way?
No, it was fun.
No,
it was different.
We got the most.
We shook it up.
Is good.
We shook
different
it up.
Is good. So if you are listening, just a reminder, we will not be having our podcast of Backstage at Offstage today, but we will start with that regular programming again next week. Correct, Lisa?
Yes.
And stand by next for Austin Monitor News. We'll be back next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. And Lisa, where can they get us?
At offstageonair.com.
And what will happen?
And we can tweet you. You can Twitter us. You can Facebook us. Go to offstageonair.com and we will appear directly into your mailbox.
Because that's
magically.
The most exciting way.
It's the most exciting way. Just put your name and your email address and we'll get something right to you. And you should listen to the podcast because other than this week and last week, you get a lot of extras.
Yeah, you kind of got a little taste of the little extras. So you can go to offstageonair.com after you've gone to KOOP.org and have made your sustainer donation.
Your sustainer donation or at 512-472-5667. Good job today, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Thanks, Lisa. I love you.
Thank
you for
too.
Being you.
And right back at you.
All right.
You'll be back like before. I will fight the fight and win the war. For your love, for your praise, and I'll love you till my dying days. When you're gone.